Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you are having a great day. I hope we can just make your weekend a little bit brighter by bringing you up to date on everything that's going on in entertainment and pop culture. I'm your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us here to help do that from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube. Jeremy, how you doing?
You know, there's been a lot of multiverse stuff, like especially in the world of comic books, and it occurred to me that few people ever stop to consider the fact that they're just living in somebody else's, variant state, right? Like, this just seems like the real timeline to us because it's the one they inhabit, but it dawned on me that I myself am the variant of Jeremy Branch that actually just somehow became a WWE fan. Have you ever considered that you are just living in somebody else's multiverse?
I guess indirectly, I think about like the road not traveled a lot. Like I think like somewhere there's another, you know, another Julio Diaz who did this, and somewhere there's another Julio Diaz that did that. And like, I mean, big example, when I was about 22, I was working for Diamond Comic Distributors in Tampa in their warehouse, and they started a management training program, and I applied for the management training program, and it was, you know, you were going to go off to some other part of the country and be trained as a manager, et cetera, et cetera. And they did this program and basically decided, well, we don't really have a lot of good candidates here, but they did like me, and they offered for me to move to Seattle and go into this training program. But basically, like, I would have been the only one doing it. And I considered it, and I ended up deciding not to do it. And I often think about what happened to that dude. Because, like, this
Some alternate timeline, that's what you're up to.
Well, I mean, this was, like, early 90s. Comics were booming. Like, you had the whole, like, the Death of Superman thing going on. You had the birth of Image Comics. You had Jim Lee's X-Men number one, Rob Liefeld's X-Force number one. These huge, massive-selling comics, some of which they've still never topped the sales of these comics. So the comic industry was booming.
That was my heyday.
But like a couple of years later, the whole market crashed. Like the way the Beanie Babies market crashed.
Yeah, good example.
Yeah. So like what would happen to me, you know, like would I have survived in the industry? Would I have been screwed all the way on the other side of the world with, not the other side of the world, but the other side of the country with, you know, not knowing anybody there? Would I have, you know, dragged back to Tampa with my tail between my legs? You know, what would have happened? Would I have ended up in Pensacola? Would I have ended up meeting my wife or, you know, having my kid? You know, there's a lot of changes that could have happened out of that. So
you are in for a big treat, Julio, because after the break, we have your other version of yourself on the line to do an interview with.
Dude, you don't know. I would totally be down with that. I would absolutely want to have a drink with that guy.
So the reason why I brought all this craziness up, I'm going to bring it back. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
In another multiverse, WWE is going to run on in perpetuity on broadcast television until the end of history, until civilization as we know it has disappeared. But in this multiverse, over the last week, it looks like WWE has signed a deal with Netflix for 5 years, $5 billion, 10-year contract to run exclusively on Netflix, the show Raw. This doesn't give Netflix access to all of WWE, but the program Raw is going to be on Netflix. This is a huge departure from the way the media was typically consumed. I mean, it was just kind of streaming into everybody's homes for decades and decades. But what do you think? Is this a good decision or a bad decision from which party's perspective? What do you think?
Well, it's an interesting decision because what I read is it's not just Raw, but also like all the big events like WrestleMania are going to be on Netflix now.
So, oh, so interesting.
I don't know if that means pay-per-view is done or if there is some kind of pay-per-view that you have on Netflix, which would be weird because there isn't any kind of like premium programming tier on Netflix. There's premium like ad-free versus non-ad-free and, you know, how many people you can have on the account and the quality of the stream. But I don't think there's any like extra tier programming. So I'm curious.
And right now on Peacock, you get all of it for $10 a month. So you've got all the previous WrestleManias, including all the what they call them premium live events now. So there's no premium. But you just now introduced the thought into my mind that, like, what if they do start charging more for the premium events on top of the Netflix subscription?
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work. Maybe they've decided pay-per-view is not a not an effective model anymore, which I could see. You know, I mean,
yeah,
the way things have changed, I could see that pay-per-view may not be the model anymore than going to a store and picking out a video to rent is the model anymore. You know, the models do change. And that's where this comes in to begin with. I mean, like, so much of what people are doing now is streaming. There's so little that is watched live. And I'm not sure these programs were live, were they?
They were, yeah.
I mean, I know the special events were.
Special
events were, but like, is Raw a live show?
Oh, that's actually, okay, look, I know that they're on the nights of the events. Now, I don't know if there's some sort of, lag in time in that, but I'm pretty sure, like, if they're in New Orleans tonight for Raw, that Raw is going to be on that night.
Okay, yeah, see, I mean, you could tell that I don't watch, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Netflix is the giant, you know. I there's going to be some people that are going to complain that it's not on broadcast, but was it on broadcast anyway, or was it on a cable channel?
So Fox and USA, SmackDown is on Fox. So the USA one, I guess, is
so, yeah, you had to subscribe to something to get that already. Now, I know that there was also, like, is it Next? Is that the developmental league?
Yeah, NXT.
Yeah, and I know there was a deal that was announced maybe 6 months ago for that to go to the CW.
Interesting. I didn't even know that part.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's still going on, or I mean, I assume it is. It sounds like you're still going to get some WWE programming over broadcast television. So it's not an either or, but if you're the super fan and or if Raw is your show, you're going to need Netflix. I do not know the current WWE well enough to know who that means, where you're getting what. I know that there are certain wrestlers that are in different programming or whatever.
All the big faces right now. So all the good guys are over at Raw. A bunch of big guys like CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton, et cetera, a bunch of them.
All I know is John Cena is saying he's going to retire at any minute. So
yeah, I saw that.
Like, I know that, which... To me, it's like, I kind of wonder why he's still doing it anyway, considering that how much movie work he gets now, and you know how he's becoming. I mean, he's not quite at Dwayne Johnson's level yet, but then again, Dwayne Johnson still shows up in the WWE every once in a while too.
I don't think there's any replacement for having 50,000 people cheer your name in an auditorium. If I had to guess, that probably plays a substantial role in
it. Well, but you know what the replacement is? Not having the crap beat out of your 50-year-old body.
Yeah, 100% agreed.
As someone who's just a little bit older than John Cena, not much, but just a little bit, I can see why John Cena wants to retire before he's 50.
Yeah, like, I get it. I get it.
And I'm actually in better shape now than I was in my 20s, and I still wouldn't want to get in a wrestling ring. I can see it. You know, he said, I want to be able to continue to give the best quality performance. I can't do that if I'm old. And there's a reason a lot of wrestlers haven't lived to be real old. Let's be honest. But yeah, interesting times. Interesting times. We've got to take a break. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
make a house call to the woman. You could lay your diagnostic hand upon her belly and her throat. If you were in my movie, you could be the detective who could sit behind the desk with a question on your lip. Examine her for motive, investigate the scene. In the ever-present danger, keep the holster at your hip. If you were in my movie, if you were in my movie.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube. And Jeremy, I know that we spent about half of last week's show discussing the possibilities for the Oscar nominations ahead of
some
them coming out this
much
week.
Too much time.
Well, I don't know about much too much, but a decent amount of time was spent discussing the potential Oscar nominees. And then on Tuesday, they came out, and, you know, we had a ton of nominations in, you know, all of the major categories.
May I say your guesses were pretty spot on for the most part, sir.
Yeah, I think I'd had a pretty good hit record, but let me ask you this. Over the last couple of days since the nominations come out, how much have you heard about anything other than Margot Robbie not getting a Best Actress nomination and Greta Gerwig not getting a Best Director nomination?
I'm not going to lie. That's pretty much the only takeaway that I've gotten off social media is that Barbie got snubbed with their only 8 nominations. What do you think?
Their only 8 nominations and the fact that each of those women did get nominated for something, just not those categories.
Yeah.
You know, it's
you all right, know, so. Well, I feel better about this. I thought we were going to be on opposite ends of the spectrum, but I see that both of us have nuanced takes, which will probably make it less entertaining for the listener.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that, but all right, let's look at this holistically here. Yes, Barbie got 8 nominations, which is one of the top films that got nominations. Oppenheimer got the most. Poor Things got a little bit more than Barbie. Poor Things, also, by the way, a very feminist film. Every bit as much of a feminist film as Barbie is.
Yeah, that's what the dude that wrote and directed it told me, too.
Hey, Barbie was also co-written by a man.
Co-written, but point taken.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, let's not get, you know, too ahead of ourselves there. And, you know, let's not overlook the fact that Emma Stone is a producer on Poor Things.
Fair enough. Yeah, good point.
So, I mean, yeah, we can get into all of that, but I think Yorgos Lanthimos has a pretty good record as being an ally at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, everything has been centered on Margot Robbie didn't get nominated in, let's be honest, a very competitive Best Actress category this year. And Greta Gerwig didn't get nominated in, let's be honest, a very competitive Best Director category this year. Now, do I think both of them probably should have been? Yeah. Do I know who I'd kick out to get them in? Not really. Like, who are you telling me of those nominees? Okay, amongst Best Actress, Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy for a Fall, Carey Mulligan for Maestro, Emma Stone for Poor Things, and Annette Bening for Naiad. Which one of them are you telling me didn't deserve it?
Look, I didn't watch those movies, but emotionally, my heart is telling me that Margot Robbie got snubbed.
Well, there's that.
You know, nobody saw these movies. Nobody saw these movies, and they're complaining because they feel like the movie that they did see should have won the thing. That's
so,
all it is.
So people that see 3 movies a year are upset.
Have strong feelings about this.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, there's that in there too. Don't get me wrong. That's some of it. Let me ask you this, Jeremy. We talked about, you know, picturing alternate worlds earlier.
Mm.
Picture an alternate world where Margot Robbie gets nominated for Best Actress for playing a character that is literally called Stereotypical Barbie. Literally, that's the character's name.
I love where you're going with this.
And Lily Gladstone does not get nominated for Killers of the Flower Moon.
Or gets beat, even does get
nominated. Or they both get nominated and Margot Robbie wins.
That's wild. That is wild.
Think about the outcry that we're going to hear on that. You want to see that hashtag Oscars so white thing come back real quick? It would have come back real, real quick, and it would have been ugly.
Both of us liked Barbie, and I don't think either of us are taking away from what a great achievement it was.
No, I love the movie. It's one of my top
material.
It's one of my top five movies of the year. So, I mean, you know, don't tell me that I don't get it. And the other thing, all right, here's the reason why I think there's so much outrage about this. I think it is the appearance here that we get from Margot Robbie not getting nominated, Greta Gerwig not getting nominated, but Ryan Gosling gets nominated for playing Ken. Like, if you think about it in the context of what the movie's about, it looks like the patriarchy winning over the women. And I get that. I totally understand.
I cannot say, was Margot Robbie not... So in the movie itself, I think Margot Robbie was probably even better than Ryan Gosling, who was also fantastic. But we're comparing apples to oranges now because they're not both nominated in the same category.
Yeah, and supporting actor is a much less competitive category this year. I mean, it's still actually fairly competitive in that I think there's, you know, one or two performances that could have been considered there that didn't get in. But you've got Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, probably going to win, Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things, and Ryan Gosling. Now, we could have had Willem Dafoe in there. For Poor Things, because there's a couple others that maybe could have been considered, but it's a less competitive category than Best Actresses this year. So I'm not surprised that Gosling got in there. I don't necessarily think he's going to win the award, but it does lend to that appearance. You also get the fact that they're ignoring, to some extent, some people have made a point of, you know, correcting themselves to make sure they recognize it. But America Ferrera also got nominated for acting in Barbie for Best Supporting Actress. Also a less competitive category. She's up against Divine Joy Randolph for the Holdovers, probably going to win. Although I got to say, now that I've seen that movie, don't necessarily agree with that. She should be the automatic winner there. Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Jodie Foster for Naiad, and Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple. So you also have a very diverse roster of actresses in that category. I don't know that America Ferrera is going to win it because it seems like Divine Joy Randolph is winning everywhere. Then again, now you have this swell of, well, Barbie needs to win everything now because they got screwed, which they didn't. But, you know, that's out there. So maybe maybe this improves America Ferrera's chance of winning. It certainly could.
And what a great run for this movie. Again, 8 nominations.
All right.
Nominations in several major categories.
Before a year ago, could you imagine a Barbie movie getting 8 Oscar nominations?
No, it's wild.
Could you imagine a Barbie movie getting this kind of critical acclaim? And let's look at this honestly beyond that. The Oscars are not famous for recognizing comedy.
And this is one of the most financially impressive movies of the year.
The biggest moneymaker of the year.
That's
so you have this movie that is
sweet.
This is a movie that made $1 billion, literally, that has had this huge cultural impact, that has been hugely well-received critically, 8 Oscar nominations. This is a movie that's going to stand the test of time and is going to be beloved for decades to come.
People will be talking about it next year. So many of these other movies.
That's not enough because there were 2 nominations that didn't come for people holistically again. Margot Robbie's been nominated for acting twice before. She was nominated for Best Lead Actress in I, Tonya, and she was nominated for Best Supporting Actress in Bombshell. Greta Gerwig has been nominated for Best Director before. She was nominated for her first film, Lady Bird. No, she didn't direct Frances Ha. She starred in Frances Ha. She didn't direct Frances Ha.
Oh, yeah.
But her first directorial effort, Lady Bird, she was nominated for Best Director. Not only that, Greta Gerwig is now the only filmmaker in history whose first three films as director have all been nominated for Best Picture.
Bang, that's amazing.
Lady Bird, Little Women, and Barbie, all nominated for Best Picture. Nobody else has done that. Not just no woman, nobody, no man has done that. It's hugely impressive. Do I think she should have been nominated? Yeah, I actually think her being left out of Best Director is actually a little more egregious than Margot Robbie being left out of Best Actress. And that's not a knock on Margot Robbie. I love Margot Robbie. She's one of my favorite actresses. I will pretty much watch her read the phone book. She's also nominated as a producer on this movie. She is the lead producer on this movie. She's also a lead producer on another movie that a lot of people thought was going to get some nominations that ended up getting no nominations, Saltburn. Nobody's talking about Saltburn getting snubbed, even though it's the same woman involved. So it's just this thing of, like, Barbie meant so much to so many people, especially so many women, that it's, and I really think it's the appearance of the Gosling nomination. I've even heard it extended to the fact that the song I'm Just Ken got a Best Original Song nomination. Like, I've heard people outraged about that, totally ignoring the fact that the song that Billie Eilish wrote and recorded for Barbie, which I think probably has a better chance of winning and is probably the more creative song, the big emotional number from the movie, is also nominated. That song's called "What Was I Made For?" You know, that was also nominated. Yeah, those are some of the eight nominations that this film got. And let's not put aside that, you know, Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie are the ones that decided on hiring Ryan Gosling. They're the ones that decided on having the "I'm Just Ken" song in their movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you look at it,
what they think about it.
You know, I haven't seen where either one of them has said anything about it. I do think it's interesting. I do think it makes Barbie a little bit more of a cause celeb, kind of the same way Argo became when Ben Affleck didn't get a Best Director nomination, even though he'd been nominated at a lot of the other guilds. And the same is true for Greta Gerwig. She got left out at the Oscars despite getting a Directors Guild nomination. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be real interesting. We'll see what happens. We've got a couple of months of this, so we've got plenty of time to talk about it. Got to take a break. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube. I hope we're going to hear that version of that song again, because the reason I'm playing that version of the song Dog on Fire is because it was the version used when Jon Stewart was the host of The Daily Show. And we got the news this week, Jeremy. Jeremy Branch is with us from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube. We got the news this week that the legend is returning. Jon Stewart is coming back as the host of The Daily Show, albeit only one day a week. He's going to host the show on Mondays. But I think this is just great news. I mean, I liked Trevor Noah, don't get me wrong, and I'm not bagging on anything Trevor Noah did. Great to see him finally get an Emmy for his work on the show this year. But this whole thing with what was going to happen with The Daily Show, since Trevor Noah kind of abruptly left the show, has been such a cluster, you know what. And to come out of it with the notion that we're going to get one of the sharpest minds of his generation back on TV once a week, talking about politics in a funny way as we go into this insane presidential election that's coming up. And we know that he's going to be around at least through the election. It just, it fills my heart with joy. Like the Daily Show when Jon Stewart was the host was appointment television, as far as I was concerned. And it's going to be appointment television again, at least on Monday nights. So do you have what do you think, Jeremy? Do you have any thoughts about this?
Oh, big time. So, and I'm sure the listeners who just happen to stumble across this program once a week are like, oh my God, it's these guys talking about politics again. What is happening? But I was growing up at a time when Jon Stewart was very pivotal in kind of reinforcing and even helping establish some of my views on the world. I found him to be extremely incisive in his observations, and he would call crap on both sides. And
yes,
obviously, he
very much so.
Very left. If he saw issues within, you know, that camp, though, he would definitely call them on the hypocrisy, call them on the transgressions, and all of those kind of things. And I really appreciated that about Jon Stewart. It was appointment television. As you said, I watched it every single day. I'm a very different person now, as somebody who's into my 40s and is a little bit more a developed version of the person that I was then. I am so tired of monologues about Donald Trump done by liberal comics, which therefore only galvanizes Trump's camp to be like, look, all the baby eaters over there have a conspiracy against Trump, and that's the reason why. I think it's a huge reason why the guy gets elected is just because he's in the cultural lexicon so much. Comics act like they hate him, but he is 90% of their material, and I don't know, man. I don't know if I personally have the stomach for it like I used to. However, I do love Jon Stewart's voice. He did a really good job debating with that Fox guy a couple years ago.
Tucker Carlson.
I don't remember who it was. Yeah, no, okay, so it was before Tucker. It was the old kind of real bullish man that was on Fox News.
I mean, he's done a lot of those over the years. You know, first of all, I think that we lost Jon Stewart as a regular voice on TV at exactly the wrong time. Like he left the show right before the 2016 presidential campaign.
Yes.
And I actually think that things might have gone a different way if he had stayed. I think that might have been enough because it was so close anyway.
You're right about that.
But
it was close.
Putting aside the politics of it all, because you know this is not a political show, and you guys listening don't care what either Jeremy or I think about politics, I'm sure.
No, for sure.
I know that we probably don't agree with a lot of the political commentary on this particular station, and that's fine. We're not here to talk about politics anyway.
Yep.
Think about the talent that was exposed to a wider audience under Jon Stewart's wing.
Hit me.
Steve Carell. Was a correspondent on The Daily Show before he went to before The Office, before the movies, before you know, all of the great stuff he's done. Stephen Colbert, Daily Show correspondent, then goes off to his spinoff show, The Colbert Report. Now he takes David Letterman's place on CBS, and he is the number one host in late night right now.
Yep.
So, Stephen Colbert, John Oliver, Daily Show correspondent. Mm. He'd done some other stuff too, but Daily Show correspondent goes off to start his own show after guest hosting The Daily Show for several months while John was off making a movie. Goes off to start his own show.
Big
probably
John
6
Oliver.
Months before John decides to retire, because there's a world where John decided to retire earlier, or John, you know, what came up with a transition or something. And John Oliver became the Daily Show host, which would have been an interesting world too. But instead, he went off and created Last Week Tonight. Massive run of Emmys, hugely influential show on Sunday nights on HBO. We've talked before about how that Sunday night on HBO, that is the key programming.
Yep.
You know, John Oliver just continues to dominate. And it's going to be interesting because I think having Jon Stewart back as the host of The Daily Show, because before Jon Stewart was the one that nobody could beat, before John Oliver was the one nobody could beat, Jon Stewart was the one no one could beat. So now we got a horse race.
Interesting, so
that's real interesting. In fact, the only reason I think Trevor Noah was able to win this year is because John Oliver actually got moved to a different category. So,
right.
Yeah, so that left an opening, and congratulations to Trevor Noah. Also, by the way, Trevor Noah, another talent that got brought to wider attention by Jon Stewart. He was a correspondent on The Daily Show before he got the gig. Jon Stewart recommended him for the gig. Jon Stewart's remained an executive producer on The Daily Show, so he's still always kind of been involved. Samantha Bee, Daily Show correspondent, went on to go ahead and host her own long-running show on TBS, which ended fairly recently. People like Larry Wiltmore, people like Jessica...
Rob Riggle.
Rob Corddry, Jessica Walters, who just got nominated for her role in Shrinking, who's fantastic.
That's right.
There's this litany of great comics who have gotten greater exposure thanks to Jon Stewart, who have gone on to hugely influence comedy. And, you know, you mentioned the elephant in the room, too. You know, Hasan Minhaj, who became a pretty well-known stand-up comic, had his own program on Netflix for a while, and at one point looked like he was poised to take over The Daily Show. Before there was a kind of ginned up controversy, thanks to the New York Post, which, you know, they do have a certain political slant. The New York Post
does.
They
do have a publication, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And that may have had something to do with why they targeted Hasan Minhaj. But he got taken down for exaggerating some of the things in his stand up, which, you know, it's comedy. It's not, you know. It's not biography.
Yeah, I've always wondered where that line is, because I imagine most good stories are like fish stories, where like the real version is pretty mundane. The funny version of it's a little bit elevated or heightened. But if you want to completely make up stories, as long as the stories are good and I'm laughing, I really don't care all that much.
Yeah, I mean, I think don't get me wrong, I think Hasan Minhaj is going to come back from it. I think he's still going to be a respected comic and is still going to have a successful career, but I think when you're talking about networks and they get skittish, it's a whole other world. So I think that's what lost him this job, is not what he said or did, not what the Post said about it. And I think he actually had a pretty good rebuttal to everything the Post said about it. It's the network, and the network got scared and they got cold feet and they pulled back. And that's part of why this took so long, because honestly, if that hadn't happened 6 months ago, Hasan Minhaj would have been announced as the host of The Daily Show.
He was the lock.
And
would already
be installed.
Agreed.
And then we wouldn't be getting Jon Stewart back as the host of The Daily Show on Monday. So it's kind of
really
a double-edged sword.
Jon Minhaj. Yeah. Well,
yeah. So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword, but we'll see what happens there. But I'm excited to see this. The other three nights of the week that The Daily Show is on, because The Daily Show has always been four nights a week, despite the title, it will be hosted by a roundtable of the...
Artificial intelligence.
No, by the other correspondents on the show. So we'll get Jordan Klepper, who also is another one who has been spun off to his own shows in the past, could have easily been a host of this show. Ronnie Chang, who has had great success in movies lately. We saw him in Godzilla vs. Kong. We saw him in Megan. We saw him in Shang-Chi.
He was so good in Megan.
Yeah. You know, who's a great guy. I had the chance to meet him when he was here in Pensacola for a Daily Show segment. He's going to continue on. I don't know. Roy Wood Jr. had already announced that he was leaving the show, but was still in the running for host. I'm guessing he's not going to stay, and that's too bad. But again, another great talent that's come out of The Daily Show. So I think The Daily Show is going to be in really good hands, and I'm excited to see what's going to come forward for The Daily Show. We've got to take a break. We're back in the war in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
I can hold you now. Kryptonite, put me on my knees.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube. And we've got a bunch of odds and ends that are going on in entertainment news that I wanted to take a little time to catch up on, Jeremy. First and foremost, and why I'm playing that song, is we have some casting news coming out this week. Not quite final casting news, but final two casting news, let's put it that way, for the role of Supergirl, as heard in the song That's Really Super Supergirl by XTC, which is a great song that I love, to appear as a cameo in Superman Legacy, James Gunn's film that's going to be coming out in 2025, and then headlining her own movie, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, which is one of the films that Gunn announced last year in like the initial run of the new DCU. No longer with the E. Less E in the new DCU.
Correct.
So we have two actresses. It's down to two actresses who are in screen testing in Atlanta this week for the role of Supergirl. One of whom I think might be a little more familiar than the others, than the other.
Yeah.
So the one I think people might be a little more familiar with is Millie Alcock, who was, of course, the younger Princess Rhaenyra on House of the Dragon on HBO in the first several episodes of the first season of House of the Dragon before they had the time skip and recast both the two lead actresses.
If I may, that was the one tough part about season one of House of the Dragon was letting go of this fantastic actress who just did Rhaenyra so well and then passing her off halfway through to somebody who also did well, but we just kind of had to reconnect with the performer. Millie Alcock was so good, so I like this idea. And who's the other one?
The other actress is Meg Donnelly. Now,
okay.
The interesting thing about Meg Donnelly is that she already plays Supergirl. She has played she's played Supergirl in a number of the recent animated films that have come out. There's a long-standing tradition of direct-to-video films starring the DC characters where they've actually had a couple of different continuities now at this point. And in the current continuity, including the new film Crisis on Infinite Earths Part 1, which just dropped in the last few weeks, Supergirl is played by Meg Donnelly. So I kind of dig that. I kind of dig the idea of bringing in this actress who's already been doing this character from a voice standpoint to play the character in live action. She's also done a lot of Disney Channel type stuff, and she's a little bit younger. She has a little bit more of a traditional Supergirl look, I think it's fair to say. Like, I think
with all due respect, and you know when somebody says with all due respect that they're about to say something extremely disrespectful, this girl does not look like a voice actor. So take from that what you will. I think, yeah, she would look great in the Supergirl costume.
Well,
no disrespect.
I mean, there are a lot of really good-looking voice actors. And if you don't believe me, come to PensaCon in a few weeks, February 23rd through 25th in downtown Pensacola, because we have a lot of great voice actors. Great-looking voice actors. Come and meet Christina V or Amberly Connors or you're not gonna.
All due respect, ladies. Sorry about that.
The
I don't
the
know
question
what I'm
is going to be: why are these people not on camera? So
mm-hmm.
yeah, okay. But yeah, so you know, I could go either way. I kind of know the source material of the movie that they're going to be doing for Supergirl. The miniseries that they're basing this movie on, I kind of feel like maybe Millie Alcock is a little better suited for.
Okay.
But I think Meg Donnelly has a more traditional Supergirl look. So I think I'd be pretty happy with either one, but we'll see where we go on this. Be interesting to see what Mr. Gunn and Mr. Safran decide. I have a feeling we're going to get news on this pretty darn soon since the screen tests have already taken place.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Speaking of actors who have been involved with the Superman franchise, an actor who maybe is not best known for having played Lex Luthor, but did play Lex Luthor on the big screen in a Superman movie, has resurfaced this week. Talking about a guy I don't really want to be talking about, but we got to talk about him, Kevin Spacey. Who, of course, played.
What happened? Did Kevin Spacey do something other than being a great award-winning actor?
Well, I mean, from a legal standpoint, he was acquitted.
But, okay, that's.
I think we're mostly aware of. Of course, Kevin Spacey played Lex Luthor in Superman Returns, directed by Bryan Singer, who is also a guy I don't really want to talk about.
Yeah.
Who also has a lot of accusations for the same kind of things that Kevin Spacey has accusations for, doing things to young guys.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin Spacey, you know, he may have been acquitted, but his name is pretty much mud. Nobody really wants to work with him. He's not really getting a whole lot of roles these days.
But,
so he's doing what a lot of actors do. He's hitting the con circuit.
Oh, great. So you can have your child get their picture taken with Kevin Spacey.
You could if you so chose to do that. I want to be clear. Kevin Spacey is not coming to Pensacon. We do.
Dang it.
We're not interested. Thanks. but he is appearing at a convention. He's doing his first convention. He's never done one before, but he's appearing at a convention in, I believe it's in Connecticut, called Mad Monster Party. Primarily a horror themed
monster party.
Yeah, it's primarily a horror themed convention, and he does have some horror credits to his name, most notably Seven.
And he is a monster, so like this is totally on brand.
I mean, there are people that feel that way. It's been very interesting because the convention has announced it, and the reaction has not been good, and they've been banning people from their social media pages. They've turned off their comments on their Instagram page. I just don't think this is going to go well. I think, you know, set aside the fact that, yeah, there's people that are going to say he was acquitted and that's enough for me and I'm cool with it and I'm going to go get his autograph or whatever and I'd go watch him in a movie or whatever. And you know, I'll be honest with you, before all of this, Kevin Spacey was an actor I thought was pretty great and I really liked him in a lot of things. I was a big fan of House of Cards, big fan of the last big film he did before all this came out, Baby Driver. Fantastic movie. Big fan of The Usual Suspects, big fan of Seven, you know, he's done a lot of great things, but I'm not interested now. And I think that there are going to be people that are going to be interested in going to the show just to confront him. I think it causes a huge, huge security problem. And I don't see that it's overcome by the amount of tickets that it's going to sell or the amount of, I think the amount of trouble that it causes. Just as speaking as somebody who is involved with running a convention and knows what these things can, how these things can happen, I just think it's a really dumb move. I it's not a move I would want to make.
No.
And
no.
I mean,
and, you know, you are looking at it from the logistics side, and I totally understand that perspective. I appreciate it. From just some guy who's got no skin in the game one way or the other, the worse this ends up for that convention, the better it ends up for me, because it gives me fodder to talk about on the next show when this stuff inevitably comes out. But no,
well,
and
to point out, there's another guest booked into this con already who is currently under investigation by the Secret Service for death threats against the president. So
who's that?
That would be our friend John Schneider, who also has been involved with the Superman franchise, played Jonathan Kent on Smallville for a decade. So,
interesting.
Yeah, you know, you got that going for you too. So, yeah, I mean, from a logistical standpoint, I wouldn't want to deal with either of them, taking any personal feelings out of it. Just from the standpoint of trying to put on a fun and safe event that everybody can enjoy, I think they make it very difficult to put on a fun and safe event.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, Kevin Spacey in particular, was acquitted. So in the eyes of the law, he has not committed any crimes. But back to your point about networks a little earlier in the show, when we were discussing the decision that was made about Hasan Minhaj, I think I would just err on the side of caution and not bring somebody like that.
Do you know who else was acquitted? You know who else was acquitted of a crime?
O.J. Simpson?
Yeah, O.J. Simpson. Yeah, do you want to have O.J. Simpson at your convention? I mean,
I'm the wrong person to ask.
I believe he has done some sports memorabilia conventions, but yeah, no, that's not something that I would chance doing. So, you know, there's that. And finally, one last thing we want to mention before we get out of here. A trailer dropped this week for the new movie, the reboot movie, or the remake movie version of the beloved Patrick Swayze classic Roadhouse, directed by Doug Liman. Directed by Doug Liman and starring Jake Gyllenhaal in the Patrick Swayze role. And the controversy here is that it is going directly to Amazon Prime, and Doug Liman is not happy about this. He boycotted the red carpet premiere, said that this is the best movie he's ever made, and that Jake Gyllenhaal is being cost an Oscar by this film not getting a theatrical release.
That is so awesome, dude. I was not that ethic about seeing this movie, even after having watched the trailer. But when you told me that story, I am like, I must have seen an early cut of the trailer with Conor McGregor. And it looks wild. Look, Jake Gyllenhaal is a phenomenal actor. He's deserved every bit of accolades he's got for performances like The Nightcrawler and even Jarhead. But I just don't know how Patrick Dalton, I believe is the character's name, can be an Oscar-worthy performance. But I'm so curious now.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. And with that, we are gone until next week. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.